You are listening to WAIF Cincinnati, 88.3 FM on your dial and live streaming online at WAIF883.org. And for those of you who are just joining us, I am Reverend Louisa Dyer. I am an interfaith and metaphysical minister and life coach. And our show every Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And what we do on this show every week is we tap into the power and the beauty and the divine love that is actually animating all forms of life, including mine and yours. And when we can actually welcome that connection with the divine spark inside of us, we begin to wake up in a way we haven't before to the beauty and the love and the glory that's in life. And just look outside today. This beautiful sunshine, oh, the glory of life is easy to see. And so each week what we do on this show is we talk about things that can help us move whatever's been inside of us out of the way that has been blocking our experience of that divine energy. And we've been hearing people's personal stories about how they woke up and about incredible things that people are doing. And I'm really excited today because we have an interview that we're going to do today with Jody Salonde, who is just this incredible singer, songwriter, speaker, and she's going to share with us today how music has been her spiritual muse, and I'm really excited about that. We're going to hear some music from her latest CD, which is called Spirit Speak to Me, and I have played that on the show before, but today we're going to hear more of that, and we're going to hear how it all came to Jody and how music really fills her up and makes her life really what it is. The first cut on this album is called Everything is God. And when we come back, I will have Jody on the line and we are going to hear how music has been her spiritual path or how her spiritual path has used music. I mean, you could think about that any other way. She's a brilliant woman, an incredible speaker. I've really enjoyed talking with her. And I think this CD is going to uplift your spirits and open you up to the reality that God is right here, right now, all the time, in your heart, in your spirit, in your soul, in your physical body, as soon as you allow it. And so I'm going to start this set off with the first cut from this CD, Spirit Speak to Me, by Jody Salonde, Everything is God. And I'll see you back here in a few minutes when we get Judy on the line. And I hope to join you then. I hope you join me then. See you soon. Enjoy the music. everything is God, you know. Oh, gosh, that was Jody Salon, and that is the first cut on that Spirit Speak to Me CD called Everything is God, and that is the truth. And I have Jody on the line here, which I am very excited to invite her and welcome her onto the show today. And I just want to tell you a little bit about her before we go there. Jody is a singer, a songwriter, a recording artist, a speaker, a workshop leader, and what everybody says about her is that she really comes from the heart. And I think she can do that as well as she does because she actually loves writing and performing songs that are written specifically for the event and the talks that she's giving, because her passion is to make a difference in the world and to bring those messages that Spirit gives to her to the world with a wide and compassionate heart. And so I'm very, very happy to welcome Jody to the show today. Hey, Jody, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. And boy, thanks so much for having me, Reverend Louisa. I am really thrilled to be on your program today.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you. I've been very excited about this because I've looked at your website and, oh my goodness, you do so many things. You're such a creative individual that it just seems exciting just to talk to you. This CD, Spirit Speak to Me, I'm wondering, is this a real switch from what you're used to doing musically, or is this just the last one in a long line of really spiritually focused CDs that you've put out?
You know, it's the first one that I really focused on the spiritual messages. I have a Tinker Bear. I have written for years all kinds of spiritual songs and bringing those messages forward. But I certainly focus more on country music because I lived in Nashville, Tennessee for 23 years. Mm-hmm. And I think also I was finding my way forward into what it was I really wanted to say. And when I got very comfortable in that and felt like it was time to take that step, I knew it was time to do this CD.
And so did that feel like a real switch for you from country music to... Because what I could tell people about this CD is one of the things that I love the most about it is that it's a lot of different kinds of music. It's not... I wouldn't even know what genre to put it in, first of all. But what I love most about it is that every song is very different musically, and I love that. And so it's clearly not a country CD. Do you have a genre that you put it in?
No. But I can tell you, I don't think I've ever fit anywhere, even when I was performing in Nashville and doing television shows and all the typical things we do when we're there. People would come up and say to me, your voice is very healing, and that country song you wrote really isn't country. It's very deep, and there's a spiritual aspect to it. So I think I've always kind of come from that place, naturally. Mm-hmm. And I think that even the songs that we've written that are labeled country have that spiritual element to it, have that message underneath it that is much deeper.
Right. So even when you were doing country music, it had a real spiritual flavor.
Yeah,
which a lot of country music actually does. But it's right. It's the sound that is so profound to me on this CD. It's very uplifting. And you know what I really want to do before we get into talking a whole lot about the CD is I'd love for you to tell people just a little bit about your journey with your story of how you came to be someone who can write the lyrics for and create the music for such an uplifting, pretty non-religious, pretty much what I would call spiritual rather than religious CD. What's your path? How'd you get here?
Well, it's quite a story. I was raised in Pennsylvania in a very large family. We had 8 kids and 2 parents, and I don't honestly know how they survived us. We didn't have a lot of money, but we had a lot of fun. And we also had some tragedies to deal with. I had a sister who became very ill at the age of 16 with lupus. And at that time, they weren't quite sure what she had, and it took them a long time to diagnose her. And she suffered greatly. And experience, all of us had to learn how to care for her. And in the midst of all that, a tornado came through and hit our home, my father's business on the other side of town, and my father's business at our home. Mm. And we were all farmed out to wonderful aunts and uncles who took all of us for many, many months. But because of that, my parents didn't have the right insurance, and so we never got to rebuild our house. I lived in the house all through high school that, you know, the upstairs still had insulation. So what I learned from all that was, you know, we were all learning to share and to care and have compassion. And at that same time, I grew up in a family that was raised Catholic. My grandfather helped build the church, and we went to church 7 days a week. And
did you just say 7 days a week?
Yeah, well, you know, you went to Catholic school 5 days a week, and because I volunteered to be in the choir, I ended up there Saturdays and Sundays as well.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I have to say, I always was the rebel. I never believed what I was being taught. I always asked questions and got in trouble for that. And I saw what was going on at church did not mirror what I believed in my heart and what I saw in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I began to walk this, I would say, maybe rebel path, where I would go to the woods. And that's where I sat with God. Or I would sit with my sister who was very ill. And that's where I saw God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I would watch how people helped my family and how my family helped other people. And to me, that was the expression of God. So I learned really early what I really felt in my heart and how I had to walk a different path. And I continued that by leaving home when I was 17, not quite 18, moving to Nashville. And thinking, I was moving to Nashville for music, because I was so drawn there. And when I got to Nashville, I met my husband, Gary, who's a singer-songwriter, amazing musician. And together, we both were looking for that spiritual path, that next right step.
Were you already playing music at that point?
Yes, I'm sorry. I left all that out. I started singing professionally at age 13. I started my own little band, and we did country music. And then I moved into rock and roll in high school, and I sang in a band called Badger. We were all rock and roll people, and we sang rock and roll. And in the meantime, I wrote my own little things and sat in the woods and sang them. I kind of was exploring my own little thing. But I would find that even people in bars, if I was singing in a bar, maybe there's a vet sitting there who just come back from Vietnam, or someone who had some kind of life experience I couldn't possibly understand. They would come up and say to me things like, I come here and just hear you sing because it's healing.
Mm.
I didn't get what that meant. I was pretty young. I was 13.
Wow.
But I thought that I could connect. There was something empathic in me that I could relate and connect.
Uh-huh.
And so I kept doing that journey, which led me to Nashville, and I met my husband, and we began the next step in our spiritual process, which was finding a unity church and realizing, oh, my goodness, there's something here that feels like home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, feels like what I believe in my heart. I connected with that, and I realized that I would never be the same musically because I had now found a space where I could absolutely be who I was and that I could explore what that meant and what my voice and what my message would be.
That's beautiful.
So then I got married to my husband and we tried to have children and we lost two pregnancies, which was devastating to us. And again, that dove me down deep into my own issues and what my voice was with that, and I wrote a lot. I began to write a lot with the encouragement of my husband, who's really an amazing songwriter. And he encouraged me to write about it, and I did. And as time moved on, my mother passed away. My father passed away 3 months later. My sister passed away, and my niece passed away.
Wow.
And threw me into definitely a very painful place in my life, but I didn't take the time to process that. I just moved forward doing and being everything to everyone. And then I got sick.
Yeah.
I collapsed with West Nile virus, and I battled West Nile virus and many complications for over 6 years.
Oh, my goodness. So you can really, you're just one of a million people that I've spoken to who And I want to say this for everybody who's listening. When we don't take care of our own selves, when we try to avoid or ignore or stuff, whatever it is, grief, loss, anger, and we instead distract ourselves by taking care of everyone else instead of taking care of ourselves, what happens is it just goes into the body, and then our body deals with it. And it sounds like you had a really intense experience of that.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. I think that part of what I do when I sing, when I write, it's my whole being, I guess. When I am on stage or wherever I am, I bring everything I have. And when I'm, you know, being a mother to my two boys that I adore, or being a wife, or in the role of sister or friend, I bring everything I have, every ounce of my being. And what I didn't do was take time for myself to refuel, to rest. And when I collapsed and was forced, really forced into a place of not being able to do anything for years, that's the dead in my track.
Yeah. Well, and that's what happens. If we're not willing to stop when we need to, then I think personally that God intervenes and stops us. And so somewhere you must have learned how to take care of yourself, because you are no longer sick with that West Nile virus. You recuperated and you continued on. So just so people can have maybe some hope or some courage or even generate some faith, to hear how you did that, I think would be very helpful. How did you turn that intense illness and that lack of taking care of yourself, how did you turn that all around? How did you do that?
Well, I first of all learned to honor what I needed and wanted to heal.
Yes.
I learned that if it was sitting in a lawn chair, my husband used to wrap me up like a little burrito in a quilt and just lay me on this lawn chair that I loved so much, and I would lay in the sun and just feel the sun on my face and watch the clouds and look at the children playing or listen to the birds, and that was so healing to me. So I had to learn to honor that, and when good, you know, well-meaning friends would say, hey, let's take you out to lunch or let's bring over there for that, I had to learn to say, no, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. But what I need is quiet time. I need rest.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one thing. One thing I definitely had to learn to say is no and thank you, and also find out what it was that would help me heal, whether it was what I was eating that would refuel my body and really help me to heal, you know, that way, whether it was spiritually. What was it that I needed spiritually? And for me, it was going back to the woods. It was being in nature, you know, even if it was walking barefoot through the woods,
mm-hmm.
and just sensing, you know, God ever present. Also, it was learning that, you know, I had the choices to stop. I could have said no. And learning what it was about me that I had to revisit and heal that part of me that thought it was important for me to be everything to everyone.
Mm.
You know, I had to learn that those tough lessons. And also, I had to look at, take a good look at myself and say, what part did I play in my own illness?
Mm-hmm.
How did I get to the point that I was so worn out that I got that sick for that long? So I had to do, I would say, the psychological work, the spiritual work, and, you know, I had to also look, you know, as you say, mind, body, spirit. I had to look at all three.
Right.
And every day my goal was to just be aware of what it was that was coming up for me and honor it, visit it, feel it, and heal it.
Right. Well, you know, it sounds a lot of like what you learned is that self-acceptance is loving and loving is healing. And you sat with what was real inside of you and you accepted it, which is another way to say love. And in that accepting and loving of yourself right where you were, it sounds like you somehow then were able to know what it was that would be healing to you.
Right. I finally stopped and looked at what I needed to do to stay clear and balanced and focused in my life,
mm-hmm.
instead of trying to be everything to everyone so that I could, you know, be who I was and centered and peaceful and whole and healthy instead of scattered. right. and running in certain directions like so many of us I know do, because we feel like we want to be able to do it all and do it all well.
And, you know, I understand now how it is that you and I have connected as easily and quickly as we did. It's because the woods saved my mm-hmm. life as a child. I totally relate to nature as being a healing force. The woods particularly are a balm to my spirit, and they kept me alive when I really didn't even want to be at different times. And so it sounds like you have learned that part of the answer to what do I have to do to keep myself whole and centered is be in nature.
Absolutely. You know, when my children were born, my husband and I spent many years with them in the woods, hiking and biking and swimming and camping. And actually, we camped up until the day that I fell ill. We were all over the place, always camping. And so we taught our children to be in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely took that time as a family. But I have to say, so much of the time, I was thinking ahead of, oh, we have to unpack the tent. We have to put up the tent. Oh, the baby needs nursing. Oh, you know, the other child needs to go here or there. So much of the time, I was there, but I wasn't present.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I learned when I, you know, had that time to stop and reflect and was forced to stop is I had a lot of great experiences, but some of those times, I really wasn't present because I was so much ahead of the game, thinking ahead of the, you know, the next thing to do. And I learned to stop and say, if I'm going to be in nature with my children or by myself with my husband or friends, but wherever I'm going to be, the one lesson I needed to learn was to stop and stay in the moment.
Right. To actually be present and enjoy what was going on rather than be planning something in the future and therefore not even there.
Right, because I remember as a child, you know, when we're children, I remember walking through the woods and every single sense I had was heightened. You know, just the smell of the pine needles. You know how that smells, mm-hmm. that wonderful smell? And, you know, the brook, I would always be barefoot. And I'd love to just walk through the brook and feel that cold rush of the water, you know, and the stones. And sometimes, of course, I would trip and fall and end up in the water. But, you know, and looking up into the sky and noticing how beautifully blue it was, or the trees rustling in the wind. Mm. And how many times since then I walked atop with my children and I didn't even look up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't notice the leaves had changed, or I didn't notice a certain bird until my husband said, oh, look at that woodpecker out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's part of it. When we're children, we naturally do that. We take it all in, and we're just full of joy for everything we see. I think sometimes as we move into adulthood, we have so much in our minds and on our minds that we don't see and feel and hear what it is that can help us stay balanced.
Right. But when you're forced to lie down because you can no longer move, then those lessons come home to you, it sounds like.
Absolutely. I have to say one of the most beautiful things I experienced through those 6 years was being outside and hearing the laughter of children just dancing through the air. Just the laughter of children. And mm-hmm. hearing that on a daily basis in my neighborhood, you know, the kids playing, and or hearing the mower go by. I know that sounds crazy, but hearing someone mow the grass and smelling fresh cut
mm-hmm.
grass, you know, it's just those little things.
Mm-hmm. It's not a little thing when you actually are present.
Yeah.
It feeds you. Of course it does.
Yes, it does. And I think that when I would see something like, you know, just looking up at the sky and noticing how gorgeous a day it was and knowing that I'm alive.
Mm-hmm.
I can breathe. I am healing. I am moving forward to the day when I'll be out of that chair and I will be able to run around the yard and play with my children instead of listening to them. But knowing that all those little simple things were the most important things in life. It wasn't about how much we could get done or how I thought that the world wouldn't revolve, you know, if I wasn't present every moment in it, that something wouldn't get done.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that everything was going along just fine without me, and which was a big lesson to learn. I mean, of course, you know, it would have been better if I could have, you know, helped my children and husband and done the things I did, but things just got done, you know. And I also saw that for me, you know, I wouldn't wish what happened to me on anyone. But for me, I've always been a connected, deep feeling person. But what I went through took me through this fire and out the other side, and I'll never be the same.
Right. Right.
And I thank God for that. I thank God right. because there's something that's deepened in me, something I can't even put into words. But it's definitely changed me, and part of what it's changed is that I won't hold back in who I am, and I won't hold back in the messages I know I'm supposed to be giving.
Mm.
I've had that deep sense of, you're here for a reason. I could have been gone several times.
Right.
You're here for a reason. Don't be afraid to step into it now when you are being asked to step into what it is you're here to do.
Mm-hmm. And so how long ago was this 6 years of illness that you went through?
About 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I had the illnesses, and I had 2 major surgeries after that. So I've been on my path to healing and wellness the past 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned a lot. I definitely know when it's time to say no. I rest every day. And I've learned to stay balanced, and I've learned to recognize when something's going on for me that I know, whoops, I need some work there, or I need to rest.
Right. I tease people about this because it's easy for us to get into that place that you were just talking about where I have to take care of everything or nothing's going to get done. And then when we're suddenly laid down flat, we realize, oh, gosh, you know, the universe works pretty well without me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think growing up in a large family who, you know, we were taught very young, work hard. And when you work hard, work harder.
Mm-hmm.
And when you work harder, work harder. And be there for everyone. That's what we were taught. And it really, I thought I had worked through that. I thought I had let go of the fact that I thought I had to work so hard that I would fall into bed exhausted at night and then be okay with all I'd gotten done.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, I hadn't worked through that. It took me, absolutely being put flat on my back to examine, what mm-hmm. do I believe? Why did I think that I had to work so hard that I would absolutely be exhausted? That was important.
Right. Well, you know, that work ethic that comes with what I think of as good working class values, that work ethic is really strong in most of us who grew up working class or people of color or anybody who didn't grow up with a whole lot of money and a whole lot of privileges. Most of us got that same lesson. And I think when we become adults that we have to be humbled in some way, and the way you just described is certainly one way. But we have to be humbled in some way so that we can wake up to, oh, yeah, right, you know what, the universe works fine. I don't have to do it. It's the difference between knowing that God is in me and I am God. It's like, no, I am not God. God is in me and I am in God. But, you know, God is so much more than I am. And the universe works all on its own. And I can either be in the flow with that or I can do whatever I do that gets me out of the flow. And so I think it's an humbling process that most of us, with that real intense working class values, I think we have to grow up and realize that as an adult, there's some arrogance in that, and we have to give it up and get humbled and then recognize, oh, where's my place? Not I have to do it all.
Right, and I think that the other thing that came up for me that was so powerful, I remember one day after I had really gotten well and doing very well, and I decided to take a day for myself, a complete day, a whole day.
Mm-hmm.
And someone who I don't know well, I was mentioning to someone else, and someone else piped in and said, well, that's selfish. Mm-hmm. That is really selfish of you. I can't imagine, you know, you have 2 small children. And how can you just, you know, run off and have a day to yourself? And boy, was that powerful for me. It washed over me so powerfully because that was what I believed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what got me sick, that it was selfish. You know, I grew up with that message as well. It was selfish to do anything for yourself or to say what you needed and expect to get what you needed.
Mm-hmm.
Or to say no. To say no was you just didn't do that. So I had to really do a lot of work on that. And say, wow, there's part of me that still believes it's selfish
right. If
I say no. It's selfish if I stop and rest. And, you know, I had to really examine that for myself.
And so how do you see that now?
I feel it's absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
I see that when I'm sitting on the porch writing a song or walking through the woods or taking a nap or a bath or whatever it is that I feel I need in the moment, I know I come back to my children and my husband as a better parent and a better wife.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I serve when I go sing. I know I can be wide open and totally there for you if I'm totally healthy.
Exactly.
And I can still tell you, I will say, I don't have it down completely. But I will say this, although I don't think I got it completely, I sure notice when I don't have it. I sure notice when, you know, I asked my husband to drive me to a performance last week because I recognized I was really at that point of being really tired.
Right.
And I could either drive there and back and spend 7 hours in the car by myself and come back exhausted, or I could ask him for what I needed. And he gladly came along.
Of course he did.
It was either that or I'm not making dinner for the month now. But no, it's something new for me. I will say that it is new, even though it's been, about 4 years since I'm practicing the things that I know I need to do. Still, I hear that come up in my, he could be home with the kids. He could be getting things done. He could be writing his songs. He could be mowing the lawn. He could be enjoying time with the boys. And it's interesting that comes up now. I say, that's true. That's all true. But he does not mind coming. And do you want to make this drive and come home on Monday totally exhausted, or do you need the support of your husband? And I choose to ask for what I need. I might not always get what I need, but I can certainly see that if I don't at least make the attempt to stay balanced and whole, I'll be right back where I was.
Yeah.
And I'll never go back there, ever. I will never, ever allow myself to make the choices that put me in a position where I can't even hold my children.
Right. Well, see, and I think that's such a valuable lesson that most of us have to learn at some point, is that what's actually selfish is not taking care of ourselves. Because if we don't take care of ourselves, then not only are we not there for anyone else who may need us or want us, but we're not even there to live the life that we've been given to live. We're not able. And so I've learned over many years through many lessons similar to what you described that what's actually selfish is to not take care of myself, and that really taking care of myself is the most loving thing that I can do for everyone, including me, but for everyone else as well. Because unless I do that, I am not going to be available. And that sounds
absolutely
like the lesson. That's the lesson you learned.
Absolutely. And I think that if I was modeling for my children, run, 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 and an exhausted mother, what am I teaching them?
Yeah.
That was probably one of the most painful things I had to look at while I was getting well, is the fact that I was showing them I could be a superwoman, I could do it all.
Right.
And that I was showing them, I was modeling for them how you do what my parents taught me. You just work and work and work and work and work. And I refuse to do that. I want my children to see me modeling healthy behavior. And to me, healthy behavior is a balance.
Right.
So that they don't do the same thing I did. I don't want to see my children get sick or angry or frustrated or out of balance where they're miserable. I want to see my children thrive and honor when they need something that fills their soul and fills their heart so that they can be better parents and better, give to the world in the way they're meant to give. We can't do that when we're wiped out.
That's right. Well, so you broke that generational cycle with your kids. That's wonderful. Congratulations.
Well, we hope so. I revisit it daily, trust me. I still revisit it, but I do want that for them. And I also, in the work I do, I can't be authentic on Reverend Louisa. If I'm up there speaking about balance and wholeness,
yes,
I can't be authentic if I'm not walking the talk.
Yep, that's right.
So every day, I ask myself every day, are you walking the talk? Are you authentic in what you're speaking and saying? Because if I'm not, I don't want to be out there doing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds to me like you're walking that talk, sweet lady.
Well, sometimes I'm tripping. Generally, I'm walking, but everyone laughs because I'm one of those people that walk and trip and fall and get back up. Mm-hmm. My prayer, my solemn, heartfelt prayer is very simple, that I am awake and aware each day. Because if I'm aware, then I'm aware of God, I'm aware of Spirit, then I'm aware of you.
Right.
And I'm aware of my surroundings. And I'm aware of, wow, Jody, do you really want to make that choice?
Right.
Do you really want to be angry in this moment or upset at this moment or think you have to do this? And if I'm aware, then I can make a different choice, you know?
Yes, I do. I do know. Because if you're not aware, you're not even making choices. You're just reacting. The only way,
exactly.
The only way we can make choices is if we're aware and conscious.
And that's when I think I have tripped and fallen, is when I, in my life, when I have become unconscious of
yes.
my day.
Yes.
And just kind of gone through and done what I need to do, I can look back now and say, wow, you know, I would have made a different choice if I had just been aware.
Uh-huh. Or even rested. For me, I noticed that's the big thing. It's like if I hadn't been exhausted, I wouldn't have done that. I would have done something different.
Oh, absolutely. My husband and I laugh. You know, I am someone who is wide open and willing and able. But when I'm tired, you might as well forget it. I feel like God put this little switch on my head, and I'm just turned off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I get to a point, I'm done.
Right.
And it's hilarious. I can, you know, in the past, I'm such a high-spirited person
right.
that in the past, if I'm exhausted, I'll just push myself right through it. I'll just push through.
Right.
It's almost like, you know, when you're pregnant and you're in labor, and they tell you, you know, you're going to be in labor for maybe 12 hours. I had a 40-hour labor with my first son.
Mm.
And I thought, that's okay. I'll just keep on working towards it. You know, I just, tell me if 80 hours, I'll just, well, I've learned that I don't have to set that up for myself. I don't have to push through. I can recognize, you know what? I'm tired. And
right.
and the joke around our family now is she's hit the wall. Mom's hit the wall.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's good that you know that and that your kids are and your husband both are also recognizing that. And I'm just tickled pink to hear about this journey. And what I want to do now is take a little station break, and then I want to come back, and I really want to play some music and talk about some music. So I'm going to do a couple of little station things here, and then I'm going to put on the song, which is my favorite song from the CD, which is called Going Deeper to Fly Higher. And we'll talk about that when we come back. But then I want to hear more about the CD as a whole, and especially the title, Spirit Speak to Thee, and how that came to you. So if you're good with that, I'll take a little station break now, and we'll be back in a few moments.
Sounds great. Thank you.
You are so welcome. And for all you beautiful spirits who are just tuning into us, you are listening to WAIF Cincinnati, your favorite listener-supported radio station, 88.3 FM on your dial, and live streaming online at WAIF883.org. I want to thank everybody so much for listening today. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer, and I am an interfaith and metaphysical minister and life coach, and your host here every Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern. Our show is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, and there is a Facebook page for this show that is the same name as the show, Inner Divinity. We are going to hear some music, and then we will be back and talk some more with Jody. This is my favorite song from her Spirit Speak to Me CD.
Oh,
interview that we're doing today with Jody Salon. I'm very happy and excited, and we've been having such a good time. And for those of you who are just joining us, you are listening to WAIF Cincinnati 88.3 FM and live streaming online at WAIF883.org. I want to let everybody know about underwriting here on WAIF. Do you have a business that you would like to underwrite on WAIF? We offer very cost-friendly rates. We can target your underwriting to any show, and you can call one of our underwriting experts today at 513-351-1538 or 513-226-5585 and find out how you can get your business information to our listeners. The cost of underwriting is very affordable, and WAIF will help you reach our community with your message. You'll be helping your business as well as this great radio station, WAIF 88.3. What radio is meant to be. So, we are talking with Jody Salon, who wrote and produced that beautiful music that we just heard on her Spirit Speak to Me CD. The song we heard first was Going Deeper to Fly Higher. Jody, are you still there with us?
I sure am.
Super. Welcome back. Thank you so much for holding on. Go ahead. Tell us about this wonderful CD.
Well, Spirit Speak to Me is a true story. You know, the story about right before I got sick with West Nile, I was doing dishes at my, sink, and a beautiful red-tailed hawk flew down and looked right at me. Mm. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a red-tailed hawk that close.
Oh, yes.
But it's pretty intense.
They're beautiful.
Beautiful. Very intense. And, you know, it just was so magnificent and beautiful, but there was such an amazing message right there. I mean, this hawk looked at me as though he was trying to tell me something. And when he flew off, I had, you know, thought about so many times going to the woods as a child, especially on Red Hill Summit where our camp was, and we'd all eight of us would run around and explore the woods. And I had a little secret, sacred spot I used to go to. And red tail hawks would always circle. Mm. And it was my place to connect with God. I would sit and listen, and just that's where I got my messages. That's where I felt my truth and my connection with God. Mm. Well, I collapsed the very next day after this red tail hawk came. And when I went through the process of healing and began to realize how important and essential it was for me to be in the woods, that song was written as the story of how I had lost my way and had to find my way back to that sacred spot, that sacred place. And it helped me to re-examine in my life, you know, where that place was for me, or many places, mm-hmm. you know, that I go to that for me feed my soul. And then my intention with putting this on the CD and actually calling the CD Spirit Speak to Me was to empower other people to find out where is their sacred space.
Mm-hmm.
To remember that, to connect with that, and that's what in fact has happened. When I go to perform the CD, or people buy the CD, or hear of it, the same stories come back.
Yeah.
Everyone comes to me with their story of, you know, Jody, I have forgotten. Or, you know, I allow myself that. I know where my sacred space is, and I go to that. And it's really interesting how many people will come up and tell me the same story over and over again. Yeah, I got sick because I did the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, believe me,
you know?
In 30 years of counseling and coaching and teaching and training, I've heard that story probably 10,000 times, that I got sick because I wasn't listening to my own self. And then when I got sick, I woke up. And
yeah,
so
I had a gentleman one day walk up to me in tears and said, you know, after I had done that song, and said, you know, Jody, I just have to tell you that if I had had that message 25 years ago, my marriage would have never ended.
Wow.
Because I took no time to connect at all, and I projected all my anger and frustration and, you know, on my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it wasn't until I divorced that I was forced to kind of look at my stuff and what I needed that I realized that I, you know, just didn't allow myself any connection with anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know?
So is this a good place to hear that song, Spirit Speak to Me?
Oh, absolutely.
Let's put that song on so everybody can really know what it is we're talking about. Here we go. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Dodie, that is really incredible.
What I wanted to say is that people will ask me, so you got sick and then you physically went back to those hills in Pennsylvania and you go there every week. No. what I mean by that is I had to find the sacred space in my own backyard, down the street, wherever that is. It doesn't necessarily mean I have to go revisit that particular spot in Pennsylvania, but what I had to do was find out what it is that feeds my soul.
Yeah. It sounds like you had to find the sacred space inside yourself, and then you can find it wherever you are.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That is an amazing song. I wanted to let people know that you're a whole lot more than a singer-songwriter, because you're also a workshop leader and a speaker, and you have this natural ability to not only connect with people, but to actually create songs that are specific for particular venues or events. And I think that's quite an incredible creative gift. And it sounds like, from what you said before, that it's something you've been doing most of your life. It's a way you were playing, and now it's sort of become your work. But I want to let people know that you work with people, all kinds of people. You work with corporations and churches and authors and motivational speakers and nonprofit groups. Because of that, you're hired because of that ability you have to capture and deliver this incredible message. And I'd love to hear a little bit about that creative process for you.
Well, I will tell you, it used to be that I would sit down and try to write something, or I would become very rehearsed and want it to be a certain thing. What it's become now for me is to listen to what my client wants. If I'm working with, for instance, Girls for the World, Karen Hansen, incredible executive director of Girls for the World, we sat and had lunch, and I listened to what her vision was for Girls for the World, which is a nonprofit agency empowering girls all over the world, and which would launch in India. And I listened to what she was telling me, but underneath it, what I try to listen to is what her heart is saying.
Mm-hmm.
What is the message she's really trying to deliver? And then what I do is just get quiet and allow whatever comes. I am not a typical writer who sits down in a room and, you know, has to have a verse and a chorus and a bridge and has a certain method. I am someone who lets it flow through me, because I have totally gone to this place where I know that what's going to come is going to be the perfect and right thing.
Mm.
I trust that. So I just get quiet and I let it fly out of me. And generally, that's pretty much how it happens. It just flies out of me. If it doesn't, I let it go and move on to another day, generally. But the creative process for me is trust. And it comes. And when it comes, I won't tell you that there aren't times I doubt it. Sometimes I'll write something and I think this is a really big client and I want to make sure I'm delivering what they want. And so that little piece of me of doubt, that piece of doubt may come up. But generally I've learned over the years now to trust, because every time I present to the client, generally what happens is they're in tears. Something has moved them and I know them, okay. And so because that's happened enough, I've learned to trust myself and trust spirit that it's going to come through me in the way it needs to be, and trust that the formula writing that's out there, things you hear sometimes on the radio or that were specifically written as a jingle, that's not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not. That's not how I operate, and it's okay that I come from this place of letting spirit say what needs to be said and trusting that the client chose me for that reason and trusting that I'm going to deliver what they're asking for.
Right.
And my goal, my only goal, is that whatever they're asking me for, that I'm bringing something that they connect with and that whoever's at that event is going to connect with.
Mm-hmm. And so if people want to get hold of you, the easiest way to do that, I'm assuming, is your website, which is your name, Jodie, Jody, Solande, Solande.com. Is there also a phone number, or do you just prefer people contacting you through your website?
Oh, sure, they can call me. My phone number will be 330 area code 515-1302.
Okay.
I let you know, I always laugh because people say, how is it that you wrote for IBM, but then you write for nonprofits, or you can write a song for the Cancer Association about death and dying, but then you can turn around and write some jingle that's empowering. And I always laugh and say, well, because I'm open and I really walk this path of experience. I feel like I can connect with all these situations because I've lived it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am someone who walks the path of direct experience. I generally don't connect with things I read in a book or learn that way. I learn by experience,
right.
Good or bad, you know. And sometimes it's not that great. Sometimes, you know, I've definitely had some experiences that have been big lessons for me, but I think I can come and be authentic because I understand pain, and I know what it's like to be so joy-filled. You just want to explode,
yeah.
You know, and I know what it feels like when someone is in that burnout stage and they need that motivation or that encouragement, you know. So I love what I do. I absolutely love what I do. And my husband is co-writing and editing everything you hear and playing guitar as well on this CD. He's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So the process between us is also one of total trust.
Yeah.
Total trust that what we're here to do, we stepped into it fully in the last probably 15, 20 years. We finally stepped away from a path of thinking we were country, you know, musicians and almost getting that record deal and doing all those things you do, into that path of absolute authenticity of going, we're trusting and we're going to be led spiritually.
Right.
We're going to be given a project to write the story of a Vietnam vet. And my friends that are close to me know how I write. They know that there wouldn't be an issue with me being empathic and being able to connect, but there was someone in that circle of a sphere that I was there and said, you know, Julia, I really love your writing. I think you're amazing, but how in the world are you going to be able to take the story of this young vet and write it,
mm-hmm.
and really feel it and bring it to life? And I knew in my own heart that what I had to do was just get quiet, close my eyes, and listen to what he was trying to say. And let it flow through me. And I absolutely will tell you, I closed my eyes, and I was there. I was on his family farm. I could see it. I could taste it. I could feel it. I knew just instinctively what that felt like. And then I could feel him in Vietnam. I could taste it. I could see it. And I think as writers, when we can just get out of the way,
yeah.
and let the, you know, an experience move through us. That song is like I just planned to sit on the porch. I brought my guitar and a little key notebook for ideas. I expected it, to get some ideas about where I want to head with this. That song flew out of me. I couldn't turn those pages fast enough. That song wrote itself so quickly. I, at the end of it, was thinking, I wonder how this is going to end. I didn't know it had been written. That little teeny notebook, the poor little notebook with, you know, those pages were flipping. And when I got done, I just sat there in complete amazement. Because it isn't about me. It is not, oh, I sat and I wrote this awesome song. It was, I can't wait to read back and see what the heck came out of here. And we presented it to this wonderful vet. And he told me, Jody, you captured everything I've been feeling for 30 years.
Yeah.
So how does that happen? It happens because we get out of the way and we just say, you know, for me, I say, Spirit, whatever it is, move it through me. Don't give me limitations. And I don't want to be caught up in what it should be or how many verses or how long it should be. Whatever the message is, let it fly through me. And I sit there in tears and say to myself, thank God that I get out of the way. I don't want to be in the way.
Right.
I remember the very first time I trusted myself to write. And I was on the way from a women's retreat back to the church to do some songs that were planned.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, something said, get your pen and paper. And I wrote the song on the way back to the church. And I asked the music director, I know this sounds crazy, but I just wrote this song with lipstick on the way back to the church. And she goes, okay, well, can you actually do it? Sure. And that was the beginning of the let-go. Oh, I have written songs and walked up, you know, listened to the speaker speak and walked up and performed them.
Wow.
You know, I've written songs at people's, you know, in hospital rooms, at their, you know, hospital bed, or written songs. I mean, I tell you, I thank God for napkins and eyeliner, pencils, and because I never seem to have a pen or a piece of paper. I've written songs, honest to God, on stone in the middle of the woods,
mm-hmm.
with a stick. And lick the stick to try to keep it wet, to keep the words on the stone long enough that I might remember them. It just cracks me up. It cracks. I mean, I know my husband's gone upstairs and you know, got his morning shower and looks, and I've got, you know, an eyeliner pencil that I've written a song across the top of the vanity, you know. And he cracks up because he's very organized. He writes all his songs and books and everything, you know, neatly organized, and he uses those pens and pencils, and I use whatever I've got.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a real gift. It also sounds like a responsibility that you've taken on with a very great attitude.
I just laugh at myself, because sometimes it'll always happen at the most inopportune time. Something will come, and I'm like, okay, I have nothing to write with. I you know, I've written with a book on my hand or something crazy, and then I'll have to laugh later and say, wow, was that powerful? I didn't need the tools I thought. I think that's one of the big lessons, too, in the way we live our lives. Do we absolutely have to have all these things we think we need to actually do the work we're here to do? No. I have to say, I wasn't always like that. I didn't always trust myself. Somewhere deep down inside, I wanted so badly to trust who I was and what I came here to do. But along the way, there were many times that I stepped away from what was really, truly me because someone said that you're really good at this, and this is the way you should do it. I've learned to say, it's okay. I'm absolutely okay with who I am and my own skin and the way I do things, and I absolutely honor the way everyone else does what they do.
You know, that's a lesson that I think it's difficult, especially for women in our culture. Learning how to say no is just as important as learning how to say yes. Because until we learn to say no, we don't have the time or the energy to say yes to what's actually important.
Yeah, and I think as a songwriter, you know, I just had a major mentoring session when I was in Nashville. I did a little Tennessee tour in September, and I chose up a mentoring session with a big hit songwriter, amazing songwriter. And some of his feedback, he was concerned, you know, boy, this song's kind of long, and if you're going to get it on radio, you got to tear it down to 2 point whatever minutes, it would be 3 point minutes something. Mm-hmm. I don't even know anymore, because I don't pay attention, but, you know, and just some of the feedback was a lot of fear about, what's with this song, you're making a bold statement, are you sure you want to say that? You know, those kind of things.
Right.
And I had to chuckle inside. I just chuckled, not at him at all. Honoring him, because I understand what he's trying to tell me, to stay in the rules and stay in that box and make sure, you know. But inside, I was laughing because I finally recognized, wow, this is what I wanted to be all my life. Right. I wanted to be exactly who I am. And I'm not scared about breaking the rules or thinking outside the box or not making my songs a certain length. I don't sit down and write songs that fit into 3 point whatever minutes it is. I sit down and say, whatever's coming, it might be 4 minutes or 5 minutes or 2 minutes or 1 minute. I don't want to be the writer that sits down to a formula and puts myself in that box. It's not who I am. And the more I've tried to be that in my life with any aspect of my life, I found out, honestly, I don't fit into that. I didn't fit in high school. I was the rebel. I was the one out singing at 13 when everybody else was studying. I was so bad. I was never at school. You know, I was the one who said, I'm moving to Nashville at 18. I had no money. I mean, no, well. And I put myself through nursing school and sang and just did my thing. And it's not that I'm thinking I'm better than or, oh, wow, that was the coolest thing to do. It's just something deep inside me always said, just go this way.
Right.
Just go this way. It's okay. And I don't need that approval or for someone to think I'm okay to do it their way. I can honor where they are, and I've learned to say, and this is my path, and I just stay open and honestly skip down that path laughing every day at myself and say, okay, you fly by the seat of your pants. And that's who I've always been.
You really do capture this incredibly wide range of musical feeling and energy and sound. And I just really want to thank you for listening to that spirit and following it and not trying to do the formula.
Yeah, and I tell you, even trying to pick songs for the CD was nearly impossible because there are hundreds. You know, my husband and I write almost every day, and there are hundreds, and we also write a lot of bluesy stuff, a lot of country stuff. I mean, there's so many aspects to what we write, and on this CD, honestly, people laugh at the way I pick these songs. I let them pick themselves and how that happened. I mean, seriously, I got to the point, I went through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of songs and phone calls from people saying, put this on, put that on, and I knew I could only do 10. I knew that the budget was that way, and that's how it was going to work. So I just started to say, you know, God, you're going to show me what be done. And there was a woman that walked up to me at an event, just tears streaming down her face, and gave me a hug and said, I'm going to tell you something that you've never known for the last 10 years. You heal me. And this particular song changed my life. That was one of the songs on the CD. Mm-hmm. I knew it had to be there. And then one day I went to look for a lyric for a song I picked to go on the CD, and another lyric fell out of the notebook to my feet. Mm-hmm. And it was Going Deeper to Fly Higher.
But do you have a favorite song on the CD?
Well, I would say Spirit Speak to Me because mm-hmm. it's so personal, and so many people, such a diverse audience, will come to me and tell me their story.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to open people. Angels is another big favorite of mine.
Right.
Just because, you know, that again is so uplifting for people. There's so, you know, several of them for, you know, reasons, different reasons. Going Deeper is a favorite because I've always been willing to go deeper. I don't like small talk and surface talk and surface living. I've always, even as a child, loved to sit at the feet of my aunts who were so wise and had such great stories and wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that people will come to me and say, Jody, you're just so willing. You know, you write all these songs and do all these things, and you're so willing to dive down. And when I wrote that song, I realized I was literally writing it to encourage everyone to not be afraid. So I love that song because I want people to know, as you go deeper into yourself, there's your answers.
Yes.
You know, there's your freedom.
Yes.
My dad had a motorcycle shop. So I saw so much diversity. You know, we'd have the mayor come and buy something, and then somebody from the Hell's Angels walk in, honestly. And it just inquisitive about their stories and where they came from and their struggles and their triumphs. And that's what I want to hear about. That moves me when I hear an artist tell a truthful story, even though it's a very difficult story to tell or maybe isn't the popular thing to do. If something moves me mm-hmm. or makes me think or reflect on my life mm-hmm. or bring me something, a tool that I can use, that's what I'm interested in.
Right, right. I know exactly what you mean by that. You know, I am looking at the time here, and this has just flown by. And I want to thank you so very much for sharing your time with us today. I think everything you said has been an inspiration. I know it has to me, and I feel sure that it has been to other people too, because you're talking about getting real and letting that realness of who you really are not only shine bright inside of you, but express it in the world. And that's what, I think that's not only what is going to save our world, save our species, but I think that's really what we're here to do. I think that's what God is doing with each and every one of us, is trying to make us this clear channel so that our spirit can come through and shine and grow. And I think you've done a beautiful job of that today. So thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been wonderful talking to you, and I appreciate the opportunity just to share and to encourage other people to walk through their lives totally authentic, because that's what we need in the world. We need more of that.
Yes.
I just really value that in others, to see someone being totally who they are and shining, like you said, allowing those spiritual gifts and shining that light, because that's, to me, the interesting thing about this journey we're on. And the most powerful thing to me is to just become fully who you are, to do the work you're here to do.
I totally agree with that.
But while we're not absolutely who we are, it's when we get depressed and sick and sad and angry and frustrated. When we are happy in who we are and we can just express that, to me, that's our natural state.
I agree.
That's our natural, healthy state. So thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And I want to add one thing here. When we become who we fully are, we give someone else permission to do the same. They see us in our authenticity. They see us in our truth. And then they think to themselves, there's hope that I could be who I am. That, you know, and people mirrored that for me throughout my life. There were teachers that appeared in my life that mirrored authenticity. Jacqueline Small, amazing author,
mm-hmm.
was one of them.
I love her.
Oh, God, she's amazing, and I'm a holotropic breathwork practitioner because of her. I studied with her for years, and she modeled such incredible authenticity. Little by little, she was probably the person who taught me to fully trust and open and be who I was. And so if she hadn't done that, I would still be walking the path of trying to conform, even though I never could. I would try to walk that certain path and trip off it and roll down the hill onto something else. But she really is a master teacher at being authentic, because she is.
Yeah, she is. Well, honey, I really have to let you go. Thank you again so very much, and I look forward to meeting in person, and I look forward to the next CD. Hey, I love bluesy music, so bring it on.
Thank you so much, and I want you to have an awesome day. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
This is from Jody Salon's Spirit Speak to Me CD called Becoming Who You Are. Enjoy.